This travel show is brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure. And it's Thursday, which means we are going to talk about adventures in travel. And I can't wait because this one sounds really, really unique and special. How have you been, Ted Blank?
I've been doing well. I've been enjoying spring. So glad it's finally arrived.
Oh, I know it. Yes. Have all your spring breakers come back?
They have. Yep. So now we're kind of in that little bit of a quiet season before the summer vacations start up in earnest.
I love it. So what are we going to talk about today, please?
Well, I thought we would talk about a truly unique way to see some of my favorite countries in Europe, Greece and Croatia in particular, on a genuine, authentic, tall ship, a ship with sails.
Oh my gosh. I thought
we'd talk about some opportunities to do that. We'd kind of hone in on a cruise that operates in July of 2025. So something that might become of interest to people after they hear us chat, and definitely now is the time to be thinking about planning that.
I love it. Well, let's get right to it, please. You know, the tall ships, I've actually seen some when they come into the Duluth Harbor.
Yes.
And that's been very fascinating. And I had a friend that was a crew member on one. That was her quote unquote vacation. Yes. She said it was a lot of work, but really, really so fun and, you know, once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, well, back in 1976, when we had the U.S. Bicentennial, there was a huge regatta of tall ships that sailed all along the East Coast, and they ended up in New York on July 4th. And I remember my parents had a souvenir book about it, and I always love just paging through it because these tall ships are just absolutely beautiful, and they're such a, you know, sort of a step back in time to a maybe quieter and simpler world that we don't live in anymore. And there happens to be a cruise line out there. It's called Star Clippers, and it is owned by a German gentleman who is an aficionado of tall ships. And so he actually has a fleet of three tall ships that sail the world's oceans, and you as a passenger can come on board and cruise with them. Now, Mo, I know you're going to ask me if you have to raise the sails or you have to work for your passage.
Yes.
And the answer is yes, you can raise the sails. You can help out with doing that if you want to, but you don't have to. So these are actually very luxurious, newly constructed ships. They were built in the 1990s, so they aren't historic in terms of being hundreds of years old, but they were built to completely authentic specifications. So they have comfortable staterooms with running water and indoor plumbing and all the modern amenities, great food, you know, great entertainment. But when you go up on deck, you're on a tall ship. And if you want to, when the ship leaves port, you can actually help the crew raise the sails.
Wow.
Or lower them when you come into port. And that first time you sail out of a port on a tall ship, and they raise those sails, it's one of the coolest things you can ever imagine. You know, even if you've been sailing like up on Lake Pepin or up on the St. Croix or on Lake Minnetonka, this is a whole different level of sailing.
For our listeners that might in their minds want to understand better what a tall ship looks like or is, can you give us a little background, please?
Yeah, so you know, you can imagine the sailboats that you might see on the St. Croix or Lake Pepin and make them really, really big. So the smaller tall ships, there are actually three in the fleet of this company. The two smaller ships have three full masts, so three masts with sails, and they carry about 125 people. The largest of the ships, which is called the Royal Clipper, actually has five masts, and it carries close to 225 passengers. So these are big ocean-going ships. You know, they can sail anywhere in the world. They have swimming pools, they have dining rooms, you know, they have all the facilities you'd expect from a modern cruise ship. But they basically look like a giant sailboat or if you've ever been to San Diego or Honolulu or New York, or you've seen one of those maritime museums where they have one of these museum ships there, looks very similar, only a more modern, updated version.
So if it's 125 passengers, how many people are in the crew?
About 50 people in the crew.
So does it take more people to run a ship like this?
It takes a very special kind of a person to run this ship because, you know, the sails can tear. And so there actually has to be someone who knows how to repair sails with a needle and thread. The captains of these ships, there are very few captains out there, you know, out of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of captains of passenger ships and cargo ships worldwide, there are very few who understand how a tall ship really works. And so the crew is highly specialized. And then, you know, there's kind of the normal crew you'd also have on a cruise ship, the folks in the dining room, the folks who are the bar waiters and things like that. So it does take more crew to run a tall ship than it does to run a conventional passenger ship.
This really sounds like kind of a boutique-y cruise line.
Yeah, it is. You know, if you weren't into sailing, it's certainly a cool experience. But if you are someone who at all, you know, likes to spend time on the water or has an interest in sailing, this is a truly, truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So yeah, it's a boutique cruise that operates under sail. And if the weather doesn't cooperate and they need to, there is a motor on the ship. So if they need to motor to get to the next port, they can do so. But as much as possible, their itineraries are designed to be operated under sail, which I think is really, really cool in the 21st century.
Well, I do too. And I don't quite understand how you can stay on time. And don't you depend upon the wind?
You do. And so sometimes they do have to use the motors. But the ship's captains are pretty savvy. And they know how to navigate these ships and get the most out of the wind. So it's unusual that they would have to revert to using the motor. As much as possible, they've designed the itineraries to go kind of with the flow of the wind and to maximize the opportunities to sail.
This is just really, really a very unique opportunity.
I had a chance to take a cruise on this cruise line a couple of years ago in the Mediterranean. And, you know, whenever this ship entered port, every head turned to see it. There are a lot of ships in the Mediterranean, ferries and cruise ships and cargo ships and things like that, but there aren't very many authentic tall ships. And so when this ship shows up outside of the port, it definitely attracts attention. So it's kind of cool when you get off, you're sort of a little mini celebrity and then everybody says, oh, you're on that ship. Oh gosh, tell us more. So you have to be kind of a part-time ambassador for the cruise line too, after you had a chance to travel with it. So this cruise is one of their series of cruises in the Mediterranean. And each summer, all three of their ships are based in the Mediterranean. And this particular cruise starts in the port of Venice, and it makes its way through the Adriatic Sea along the coast of Croatia. And it ends in Athens in Greece after kind of dancing through the Greek islands. So you really get a, you know, kind of a threefer here. You get Greece, Italy, and Croatia, which are some of the most beautiful countries in Europe. And certainly in the summer, great, great places to go. Gorgeous weather, beautiful scenery. Historic cities, kind of has it all on a beautiful ship.
And you've said Croatia actually is one of your favorite countries of all time because of the beauty.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country. It has very interesting history. And on this cruise, you know, after you leave Venice, you'll sail south to Croatia and you'll visit three different ports there. And one of those ports is a beautiful little island off the coast. And the island is called Hvar. It's spelled H-V-A-R. And it has some of the most beautiful beaches in the Mediterranean. And so you have an opportunity not only to explore the town of Hvar, but to head off a little bit and discover some of these beautiful beaches. And the ship will drop anchor. And in some cases, they allow you to actually go swimming right off the ship into the ocean. So a really, really cool thing to do. So you visit Hvar, and then you'll visit the city of Dubrovnik, which is a very famous city in Croatia. If you've watched Game of Thrones, you've probably seen pictures of the city of Dubrovnik. It was used as one of the sets in that TV series. I guess it was also used in Star Wars at one point. But it's a beautiful walled city. The city wall is still intact. And so you can stroll around the city and see it from the wall. You can enjoy the beautiful countryside surrounding Dubrovnik. And this particular ship is able to dock very close to downtown. So you get a little more time to explore than if you were on a larger ship.
Well, that's awesome. And that's, as you said, that's a big city, right?
It's a fairly large city, yep. And it's a very, very popular city with tourists. So going on a cruise is kind of a nice way to get a flavor for it. And, you know, a lot of people go to Croatia once and then want to come back because it's such a beautiful place.
So when you say we are cruising, the Mediterranean Sea, how big is it? I can't even picture? Is it like a Great Lake? Is it like one of our oceans?
It's much, much bigger. I mean, okay. it's a small ocean. You know, you're never that far from shore. On these cruises, the ocean's not very wide. And it's actually a pretty calm ocean, you know, from a motion perspective. And tall ships, believe it or not, are actually even less prone to motion than other cruise ships because those sails help to keep the ship very rigid in the water that prevents them from being rocking and rolling all over the place.
Interesting.
So we will continue after Croatia, and the cruise stops for one day in a little town called Kotor in a little country called Montenegro. And Montenegro used to be part of Yugoslavia as well. And before that, it was actually part of the Roman Empire. And you really should just Google Kotor, K-O-T-O-R. So you can see pictures of this absolutely beautiful rocky harbor that the city is located on. And it's in a bay with some steep, steep mountains all around it. You know, sort of almost has a fortress-like feel to it. But once you get into the harbor, it's this gorgeous Mediterranean resort city that's really off the beaten path. You know, it's not a place that a lot of tourists will get to. So it's kind of a neat opportunity to see someplace that you might not otherwise have a chance to go visit.
Oh, I am Googling it. It is absolutely beautiful.
It is. Yeah. So now it's trivia time, Mo.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So there is a day spent at sea. And then the ship arrives in the port of Corfu in Greece. Okay. And now it's going to begin its exploration of the Greek islands. And you should know the answer to this question. Which famous British royal was born in Corfu?
British royal?
Yes.
I don't know.
Prince Philip was actually born in Greece. It's in a palace on the island of Corfu, which kind of gives you a flavor for what this island is like. You know, it's kind of been a playground of the rich and famous going back a long time. And so if you are interested, you can see the palace that Prince Philip was born in. But you can also view the old, very historic old town in Corfu and also just enjoy some of the beautiful landscape, beautiful beaches. They have olive oil groves, you know, all those things that you think of when you think about going to Greece. You can visit here on Corfu. Beautiful little island. And it's kind of your first introduction to Greece on this cruise before the ship goes a little further south to the port for ancient Olympia. And Olympia, of course, is famous for where the Olympics were first held, well before the birth of Christ. And it's one of the, I think, the best preserved and most interesting ruins in Greece. You can actually go there and you can see the ruins of like the Hippodrome where they had chariot races, and you can see where they did wrestling and things like that. And it has an incredible archaeological museum where they've taken a lot of the artifacts they found, and it's just really, really interpreted very, very well. So if you're at all interested in that kind of ancient Greek history, ancient Olympia is certainly one of the highlights of a trip to Greece. And it's actually part of the Greek mainland. So it's not on an island. It's actually part of the Greek mainland.
And are these day trips then, or does everybody do the same thing when you get into a port?
Yeah, when you get into port, you'll have a variety of different options. And so if you don't want to go to Olympia, there will be other options for you as well. You might enjoy going to a winery, just having a couple of glasses of wine and relaxing, but there will always be choices available to you in every port. So then there's another day at sea where you can relax and just kind of sit back and look up into the sky and listen to the silence as you hear and see these sails kind of cut through the beautiful blue waters of the Mediterranean, the beautiful blue skies. I mean, just a completely relaxing day. Take a dip in the pool, enjoy a cocktail, and just kind of relax after a couple busy days. And then we're going to hit two of the most popular and most interesting Greek islands, the island of Santorini and the island of Mykonos. And I know we've talked about Santorini before, but it's sort of the quintessential Greek island with the beautiful whitewashed buildings and the blue church domes. And it's built around that extinct volcano that blew its top back in prehistoric times. So just a gorgeous scenic place to go. And then Mykonos is actually fairly close to the Greek mainland. And it's a very kind of a cosmopolitan, very alive island. And if you're into cuisine and nightlife, it's a place to go. It has some famous windmills. It has some beautiful, beautiful beaches. You can watch the fishermen come and go. Just, you know, another quintessential Greek island and kind of a nice way to end the cruise before the last day of the cruise, which is the 10th day, you arrive in Athens. and that's where the cruise finishes up, and you'll disembark, and you could either go home from Athens, or if you wanted to, definitely a place worth spending a couple days and exploring as well.
So Ted, you would recommend how many days? It's a 10-day cruise, so would we travel on either side? What are you looking at, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I would look at about 2 weeks, and I think if you wanted to spend a day or two in Venice beforehand, great excuse to explore Venice, Northern Italy, and certainly if you had not been to Athens before, I think that would be a great way to end your cruise, spend a night or two in Athens, and see the Acropolis and some of the other sites there as well. And of course, you know, we can arrange everything from flights to transfers to activities and tours so that you can enjoy all these things in addition to the cruise.
And who is this cruise made for, do you think?
This is a cruise, I would say, that's definitely geared for adults. You know, kids are just, it's a small ship. It's a working sailboat. So there are ropes around and things like that. So I would say this is definitely geared towards adults. Certainly, as I said, if you enjoy sailing, if you enjoy being on the water, if you're into history, this would be a great option for you. And even if you're not into sailing, it's just such a neat way to travel that you might surprise yourself and discover that you are into sailing after all.
You know, I'm just thinking about people that do have sailboats. This would be such
a... right up their alley.
No kidding. And it would almost be like, you know, your sailboat on steroids. This would be such a cool adventure for somebody.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, because this is a small ship, it will sell out pretty quickly. So, you know, now is the time to be thinking about this. Certainly, Star Clippers has other cruises as well. They do the Eastern Mediterranean, where we are. They do the Western Mediterranean, you know, Spain and France and the islands of Corsica and Sardinia and the other side of Italy as well. And if you're really into sailing, you can actually sail across the Atlantic Ocean on one of their tall ships. 12 days with no calls at any ports. And apparently those are some of the first cruises to sell out. So there is definitely a cruise for everyone.
And which one did you go on?
So I sailed in the Western Mediterranean around Spain and some of the islands off the coast of Spain, Majorca. And then we ended in Cannes in the south of France. And the season for this is spring, summer, and fall. So the cruises in the Mediterranean typically start in late April, early May, and they typically wrap up in October. And then the ships sail across the Atlantic Ocean, and two of them spend the winter in the Caribbean with some really nice sort of yachtsman cruises to some of those smaller Caribbean islands that, you know, you just can't get to by plane. And then one of their ships actually goes through the Panama Canal to Costa Rica. And has some really, really nice itineraries along the coast of Costa Rica and Panama. You can visit some national parks. And boy, what a neat way to do it. Well, you know, with a tall ship as your hotel for a week to explore the beautiful coast of Costa Rica or Panama.
Ted, if people want to learn more, how could they go about doing that, please?
Yeah, so we can definitely send folks a brochure about this if they're interested. And you can just give me a call at 651-964-8245. Or you can visit my website, tedblanktravel.com. And you can request an appointment there, or you can send me a message, and we'd love to chat with you about Star Clippers or any other vacation you're thinking about planning.
Love this. The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank, of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventures, is heard on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. This travel show has been brought to you by Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventures.
See somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, to her arms.